Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in once again to Spiritual Insights. I have a very special guest for you today. She is just magical. Her name is Tara Ray, and she is known as the butt-kicking angel. She has over 30 years of study and experience in helping others make much-needed changes at conscious levels to affect the transformations they desperately desire. She infuses positive energy into each conversation and brings light to our awareness with love and humor. Her books are Universal on the Move, Be All You Can Be Without Joining the Army, and the upcoming Wisdom of Peace, Releasing Evil So All May Live in Harmony. Tara Ray, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend time with us today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me, Charlotte. I'm happy to be here.
To not invite you onto the show would have been a travesty. The first minute I spoke to you, we clicked, and it's one of those magical conversations. We have so much in common, so I know we're going to have a really good time today.
I felt the same.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But let's tell the audience, how did you get started? Over 30 years of study, what kind of put you on the path, the spiritual path?
Well, most of my life I felt that I had a mission, as most people do, but they don't go into it until later on in life. But at 12 years old, I was taken up into the Universal Wisdom, which is a plateau on the side of the heavenly place, and I was taught many, many things. And when I came back, it was an interesting experience. But the universe still allowed me to have a bit of a life before I got into the field. And then one day it was, okay, it's time to do your thing. And so I thought I was going to be a doctor or a chiropractor, something that had to do with health. Being an Aquarian, we are the humanitarians, and the health providers and givers. And so it was, I didn't want to do the doctor thing. I didn't want to do the chiropractic thing. And so I got into herbs and vitamins and nutrition and alternative medicine, became a metaphysician. And a metaphysician is someone who works with the body, the mind, and the spirit. You can't keep people in their head, and you have to work with the total body. Psychiatrists, psychologists keep people in their head, and they just see them once a week, once a month. I will see someone once, and that's all is necessary. I give them all the tools they need to get on with their own life. And that's what a good metaphysician or someone who's into alternative medicine needs to do.
And do you get feedback from them later on? Do they generally follow your suggestions, apply what you give them, and then come back with success stories?
Yes, I have a lot of success stories. When people read my book, they say, Tara, I'm on my 15th reading. You wrote a great book. Most of the time, I can't get to sleep until I read your book. People who haven't read the book have bought it at one of my conferences. I'll say, well, I'll tell you what, read a chapter a night. Read it before you go into sleep. It'll put you to sleep. And they go, why? Is it boring? I said, no, it's not boring. It's just that you'll feel good and you'll want to go to sleep so that you can do what the book is telling you to do.
Mm. Sounds like it has a meditative effect and allows them to let go of
yes,
their
day. Yes, it does. It does.
Okay.
Well, I wrote a book the way I'd like people to read it. It's a 500-page book condensed to 175. It's the chapters are very small. There people, when they read the stories of my trips around the world, they say, Tara, I feel like I'm with you when you went to Hawaii, when you went to Great Britain, or wherever you are or whatever you're doing or whoever you're with. I feel like I'm with them, with you.
Mm. Well, I love the simplicity of the layout because I'm finding you don't have to write a 1,000-page book to get a profound message across, and people take to the simplistic, spell it out, get right to the nuggets of wisdom, and then they seem to integrate that much more easily. Would you agree?
That is true. Absolutely true.
Okay. Well, how come they call you the butt-kicking angel? That's an unusual title.
Well, I get people off their butts, the B-U-T-T-S and the B-U-T-S. The people say, I'm going to when, I'm going to if, I'm going to but. You've got to get off the butts. Don't even have a sentence with but. Like, I'm really happy, but. So I'm very happy, however, makes more sense. However, if I had to do it again, this is what I would do. And when you have a sentence, you're telling people something, you say, no, I'm really not very happy because. If you take the but out and put something like however or start a sentence and put because, people will always listen when you say because. If you don't say because, you've lost them. It's simple, but it works.
Is using the word but, is that a form of backpedaling and making up excuses? How would you describe it?
That's an excellent explanation. People always say, I know what you just said, but I hear a but coming. It's like people are ready for the but. So if people will get that but out of the way, then people won't think, what did I do wrong? What's going on? Because I know there's a button here. However, is a little more easy and it feels better than a but.
Yeah, it does. And if it feels to me right now where if we took whatever the sentence is, like I'm happy with my new car, but. So what if we took that and split it into two sentences to make it two complete thoughts? Tell me if you agree.
Exactly.
I'm happy with my car because I love the color, I love the gas mileage, I love the style. I'm not happy with my new car because I need a stepladder to get into it. It's too high off the ground. I'm very tiny, so I use height jokes. But would you say that that is much more clear to the universe in what we're declaring?
Yes, always make two sentences. Always make two sentences. And also the word it. It's an article. It describes nothing. And most people, I used to do market research, and I'd say, well, what did you think about that? They go, it's good. But what about it is good? If you don't explain how you feel, how people cannot understand what you want to say. You must communicate. So when you every time you put the word it, you have to tell people, what is it? People are not mind readers. I tell people I'm not a mind reader. I might be psychic and intuitive and knowledgeable, but I'm not a mind reader. You must tell me what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Many of us want other people to be mind readers, especially in relationships. Like there's that silent contract you have with somebody, and you really, I think a lot of relationships break down because of the lack of verbal communication, such as, I am happy because, or I am unhappy because, giving that other person...
Or it's all your fault. Or it's all your fault.
That's generally what people say, but I say step onto a platform of forgiveness and basically compare your perceptions to that of the other person, and you'll see where you might have done something that they took the wrong way and they did something and totally did not mean to hurt your feelings. Do you work with people in the area of relationships often?
Oh, yes. I work in relationships. I'm also a sex therapist and a marriage counselor. It's kind of like I'm a one-stop shop. So instead of going to 10 different places, whatever needs to be done, the universe will help work through me for whoever's standing in front of me on the phone or on the computer. I don't need a human being in front of me for me to work with them. I can even do absent healing. I've even done healing when people are having surgery. People will call me and say, my mother is very ill. The doctor says she's not going to make it through the heart surgery. I said, just tell me where and when, and I will be there. I mentally go there. I work with the doctors. I help them be all they can be. And when the operation was over, it was a minister of Unity Church in Newport News, Virginia. She called me up and she said, Tara, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. The doctor came out and said, I don't understand. She should never have made it through this. It's a miracle, it's a miracle.
Good work.
So there's no such thing. Yeah, there's no such thing as the person's not going to make it. That person has more work to do on this planet. The universe will intervene and keep them here.
Absolutely. You can't mess that up. And you can't keep somebody here if they're not meant to be here, and that's a very difficult thing to grasp and to accept. But, you know, because I tried, and I've tried to do that, and when it's time for somebody to go, they have to go. And the faster we move into acceptance, the
Yes, it's their choice, and I don't work in hospice because I work with the living. If someone comes to me with a disease is disease of the body. When they come to me with the C word, I don't even like to use that word. It's a man-made word. No one really has C. It's what they think they do. And if they keep using certain words, then they will keep bringing them into their body. I said, stop using this disease word. You're a child of God, perfect in every way. But if you feel like you've got something going on with you, let's understand why it was created, because you created it. The mind creates a lot of things, and a lot of times I'll meet somebody, I can scan their body, I feel heat where there's a problem, and usually I'll go right to the breast with a woman, and I'll say, or a man, I mean, because men get breast cancer too, and
Absolutely.
I'll say, do you come last? Everybody comes first, and you come last. They go, how do you know that? Are you psychic? No, because the breast area is the nurturing area. And since you have not nurtured yourself, that's where you create comfort. If it's in the lower areas where you abuse sexually, and they go, yes, how'd you know? You know, because that's the guilt of the rape or the guilt of whatever's going on, of the husband abusing them, they will create it in that area. For the husband to stop hurting them. I had a client who created having a heart attack to finally realize she had to let that man go or she was going to die.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that so many times. And people really need to recognize how the body is a reflection of the mind and that there's a spiritual cause for everything that goes on in your body. And there's a spiritual cause for every healing that takes place. The body wants to heal. It knows how to do it. But our negative thoughts or beliefs stop that from, it impedes that healing, don't you think?
Absolutely. And ironically, digestion is the one thing that keeps us from healing completely. You know, 95% goes to digestion. So if somebody is ill, dogs are smarter than we are. They're sick, they stop eating. They either live or they die. If you are not feeling well, you've got to change your diet. You know, a couple of times have a smoothie and maybe a salad. If the less you eat when you're not feeling well or have any disease in your body, 95% will go to healing instead of 95% going to digestion. And that's why we go into coma. And when you're set into coma, when you have a brain or a head injury, you go right there and all your organs shut down. So that 95% will go to healing. 5% will keep you alive. 95% will go into the healing mode.
Interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting. And I have heard that the immune system resides in the digestive tract. So that, how does that work?
Yeah, see,
that,
we were given an immune
distribution
system,
of energy?
And that's all we needed. Yeah.
Okay.
Our immune system is all we ever needed. We were given this wonderful machine that keeps us. But what happens is we've created autoimmune diseases, arthritis, and now the immune system doesn't know whether to say, oop, you've got an allergy and I'm going to give you antihistamines instead of going to the body and let go of things that will kill us. It's become dyslexic. It doesn't know what's more important. It's like a computer that needs to be rebooted.
Mm-hmm. I don't like to take medicine. I haven't really taken anything except three or four times, it was absolutely necessary to take an antibiotic. Other than that, I stopped taking medication in 1998.
And that's great, but I'll tell you something. Even the medication, any medication that's fat soluble can stay in the body for 10 years. Like aspirin stay in your body for 10 years. That's why people are bleeding internally and their K factor goes awry. So, so even the simple thing like an aspirin, that's why doctors pushing the aspirin thing for the heart problem. Yeah, I really have to look at that. You can take natural aspirins. White willow bark was the original aspirin way back when.
Until
one pharmaceutical company said, well, we can make it cheaper, and then it became not real.
Salicylic acid. Of course. The more you do to it, the less. Okay.
Exactly. Once they turn anything that's natural, that's why when I teach the first and fourth year students, when I lived in Texas, I taught first and fourth year students about taking histories and also to listen to their clients. They created it. They'll tell you what the problem is. To take more pharmacology, take more psychology. They say, but we don't have time. We're learning about disease and we're learning about how to cure it. I says, yeah, but if there was no disease, you wouldn't have to worry about curing it. And don't worry about losing clients because someone's always going to be in a car accident. Someone's always going to need surgery. Someone's always going to break a bone. So you'll have enough clients. So you don't make $1 million a year. 100,000 will work.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of people on the planet who need help. But can I ask you real quickly, what's behind allergies? I think a lot of people are confounded by this topic, and I love to talk about it. Allergies, being allergic to things, emotional reactions, and then the whole sinus issue. What do you have to offer to help us with that?
Stuffing emotions.
Mm.
Get it?
Yes.
Yes. Once your sinuses or your nose get stuffed, you ask yourself the question. In my book, I teach about how to ask the questions. That has to do with stuffing emotions. So I'll say to the client, what are you stuffing? Who are you stuffing? What aren't you talking about? If they have a throat problem, they can't communicate. Who's stopping you? What happens is I go back to the core of the issue. Even if I have to go into the womb, and if I can't do it this life, I will go into past life situations. I don't particularly want to. But if someone can't wear something around their neck, then I will go back to a time when they might have been decapitated or hung.
And then
it's like I do a sort of an exorcism with that energy. And I'll say, energy, this is not your life. You had your life. Now go. And they're gone in seconds. It's like they're just waiting to find out when to leave. They're not going to leave on their own. So
yeah.
I just help them out, kick them out the door. That's the butt-kicking angel.
That's the butt-kicking. Okay, that's cool. You're very down-to-earth, and you're very warm. I wanted to – let's talk about the book now. You say it teaches how to ask the question. You're saying how to ask the question of yourself so that you can understand what the body is reflecting in your mind. Let's talk about, is this in Universe on the Move?
Yes.
Let's
For
go there.
For example, if your kidneys, your kidney or urinary, what are you pissed off about?
Mm-hmm.
I know. I did a whole big article one time on all these things, and I had a teacher. I was doing acupressure rebirthing, and you push on certain meridians, and you have to tell them to scream out negative, horrible stuff in their life. And then we change it around and put in some positive energy into it. But it was very painful, and I didn't want to do painful things like that, especially in the butt area. You know, that area has to do with abuse. So anybody who's listening, if you push with your thumb right in the middle of your butt, I guarantee it'll hurt because that is the seat of abuse. And so I take my elbow and I push into that area, and there you're screaming out, you know, stop touching me. Don't touch me anymore. I don't want you to touch me anymore. And then they go back to that life, acupressure rebirthing, go back to that life when they were sexually abused.
Right.
And sometimes most of it, they don't even remember. They block it out. And that's the part of the brain that I'll ask people sometimes, what do you dislike about yourself? And a half hour later, they're still going. I'll ask, what do you like about yourself? And they go, wait a minute. It's almost there. I think
my eyes.
Yep, not that. Yeah. It's like they remember all the things they don't like about themselves, but when you ask, and they think that's kind of like being selfless and selfless. It's selflessness. To thine own self be true. You must take care of yourself because how can you take care of anyone else if you aren't exactly 100% on your own?
Right. And know thyself. You have to understand yourself so that you can nurture yourself in the way that you need. You can't expect that from anybody else. So you have to know thyself and be true to who that is and know that you're okay, you know? And so what would you say the main theme of Universe on the Move is?
It's to help people get to the core of their issues. You know, the universe is there waiting to talk to you. the cover of the book was done by Arthur Douay, a very famous soul portrait painting. And if they look on my website, tarray444.com, they'll see a picture of the book. And it has to do with when we're born, we have the umbilical to our parent, but that gets severed. But you never lose the umbilical path to the universal wisdom, asking you shall receive. So because of free will, they're not going to intervene. But once you say, you throw up your arms and say, that's it, I've had enough, show me a better way. Then you will get all the teachers coming to you. You will understand why you do what you do, and that's primal. You must understand why you do what you do in order to understand how to stop doing it, because you can't keep doing the same thing over and over and expect it to change. Change is
right.
necessary.
I see what
so the
you
book
do
also
as
has
the
to do
symptom.
With, pardon me?
I see what you do as the symptom. The why is the cause.
Yes, and I also talk about dream interpretation. It's very important to understand why you're dreaming what you dream. And even in your meditations, why did certain things come to you? What does it mean? Always ask why. When I used to ask my father why, my mother why, she'd say, why is it a crooked letter? I was always asking questions. And if I asked my father, can I do this? He says, no. I go, why? He always let it, once he thought about it, he said, okay, fine. But I have two parents that I love dearly, and my father taught me my sense of humor. My mother, I believe, was a psychic also because she came from Russian descent. So I'm of Russian-Polish descent.
Mm.
And I also believe I was born Jewish this life for my love of Jesus as he roamed the earth as a healer of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And so did Marian Williamson. So both of us are Jewish this life for our love of Jesus. And she's a wonderful person. I know her. I've met her. I love her. And she's running for Congress in California.
I heard. I love it.
Yes, yes. It's
you feel good about it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she'll get elected?
We will see.
If enough. I mean, what state is she running in? I can't vote for her from
California.
Florida. Okay.
California.
Well,
we
got to rally up the Course in Miracles troops. Help her out.
Oh, yes. She'll be in. I mean, she's done so much work, and she's a butt kicker like me. You know, she tells me that there's thousands of people out there listening to her. She's happy if 10% are awake, or would be awake. But see, what happens is you have the addicted people, the people who are addicted to books, they're addicted to classes, they're addicted to going to listen to people who they believe are going to be able to help them. But that's where it stops. It's like going to church on Sunday and still doing the same thing the rest of the week. One day you have to say, that's it, I've had enough. Show me a better way. We're all out there, all the teachers are there, but one day you have to do it on your own. And to me, a great teacher is someone, as Jesus said, you will do what I do and more. I love the more part. So when a student surpasses the teacher, you know you've done your work.
You know you've done your job, yes. And,
right.
You know, you have an inner teacher. It's great that so many of us are channeling all these great works and putting them in books and helping others with it. But once you're done digesting that, you need to apply it. You need to integrate, apply it, and then access your own inner wisdom to see how that can aid your life.
Right. Well, people say, I want to be like you. And I say, but you are like me. You are like me. Well, see, I stuck the button there. Let me correct that. Yes, you are like me. The universe, when I say the universe, I mean God, Jesus, all there is.
Yes.
The universe would say, okay, Tara's going to do what she does, and Charlotte's going to do what she does. Everybody came here doing the exact same thing, but we go through the dross. The dross is electromagnetic energy, and we forget our purpose and what we were meant to do. And I also believe that since we've been here so many times, we've come as every race. We've killed. We've been killed.
Mm-hmm.
We've been happy. We've been sad. We've been actors. We've been singers. This life, I went into acting and improv comedy, but I also sang. I was a diva in many lives. And I loved England because I felt I was home.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also believe when people travel and they start feeling homesick, you will always meet people that look like the people you left home, because we only have two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. How much change could there be from the people you left behind? And now you meet someone, like I met people in England, say, oh, my God, you remind me of my best friend. And here you are again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. What I'd like to do, Terry, you wanted to make a special offer to the audience, and that is for the first five callers, ladies and gentlemen, for the first five callers into the show, Tara Ray will give you a special message from the universe. So you can call into the show by dialing area code 347-934-0751. Give us a couple minutes to cover a couple more topics, and then I'll go to the phones and see who we have to receive a message from Tara Ray, through Tara Ray from the universe. Okay? That sounds really good. But I wanted to ask, near the back of your book, on page 167, you have 103 what you call Tara-isms, or words of wisdom to live by. What's your favorite out of all your Tara-isms? They're all wonderful. I loved every one of them.
Well, my favorite is intention is a map for the mind. You must have an intention. If I gave you a map and I say, okay, Charlotte, where do you want to go? Show me on the map. I have a magic wand, and I can get you there. And you go, guess what? You're not getting there. You have to have some sort of intention, even though you don't believe that you can get there. See, like you've always been wanting to go to California, but it's 2,700 miles away. Like, how am I going to get there? I don't want to leave Orlando. Let me go. And so it's like the universe will figure out a way to get you over there.
Mm.
Intention. The fact that you say, that's where I want to be, that's an intention. And it is a map for your mind. So I always tell people, put an intention of where you want to go. I work with artists a lot. And I say, are you an artist? They go, no, I'm a painter. I said, I thought a painter paints walls. What's the difference? Well, an artist sells their work. I said, don't you expect to sell your work after you paint? And they go, I guess so. I said, well, stop complaining and go find a wall and paint something. Put your phone number and someone's going to call you. Intention, just put it out there. Instead of complaining about something, put the intention out there. The universe will hear it, and it's going to come back to you exactly what you need to do.
It's called getting out of your own way.
Right. My other one is sense of humor makes great sense. You have to laugh at adversity. You must laugh at adversity.
You do.
And Dr. Patch Williams, I was with him in Philadelphia. I specifically went there because I wanted to meet a great guy who works with laughter. He became a doctor. He said only 10% of his movie was true, but that afforded him to be able to become a naturopathic doctor in Philadelphia.
He's and a naturopath now?
Yeah, and so he works with all his employees wear clown outfits, and he still wears the red nose. So
wow.
A sense of humor makes great sense.
It
That's
does.
Another one of my favorite. Yeah. And also, denial is a veil to the conscious mind. You must lift the veils.
Yes.
Stop denying. Stop denying. Lift the veil and let everything in there.
I also like...
Now, when people go to my website, there's four more that aren't in the book. So when my webmaster was making up my website, I was getting these messages. And this is a second edition. My first edition only had 102. And when it was about to go to press, I said, wait a minute, I'm getting a message from the big head. And 103 became, see, love is a driving force of the soul. That's my other favorite. Love is a driving force of the soul. So 103 became, love means let our voice express. That's what love means. Let our voice express. Tell people what you need. Tell people what you want.
Yes. Communication.
And, yeah, when one goes within, one is never without. You need to go within to find out your information.
And I also like understanding the past is a lifeline to a happier future.
Right.
What do you mean
That's
by
number
that?
Number 20.
Well,
again, if you don't understand why you do what you do, that's the past. When you heal the past, you live in the now, and the now becomes your future. Everything I've just said to your listening audience was in the now, and it became their future if they so choose it to be.
Excellent.
So heal the past.
And you always feel that there are lessons within the lessons that we learn?
Yes. Whenever you think you got the message or you think you have the answer, guess what? It probably isn't. People say, I do this class called Complete Body Association where I get people into alpha, theta. They fall into God's arms, and the universe is with them. It's very, very powerful. And so a lot of times I will say, I'll ask them when they come back, what did they see? And most of the time they'll see a white light. Most of the time healing has taken place. And it's very, very quick. And they say, yeah, but I wanted to work on this. I said, you cannot get to B until you heal A.
Right.
Unless you heal the core issue. Because say you, my left arm, I was lifting weights, and my left arm was hurting, and it took a year for it to stop. I just blamed it on the weights, but it wasn't. It had to do with a past life situation that I didn't ask to be helped with. But the left side is your female side, and the right is your male side.
Right.
Left is receiving, right is giving out. So It's like I have to ask myself, if my left arm is hurting, what am I not receiving? What am I not letting in? So once you understand the body and what the body is doing for you, then you'll understand. If I didn't get in touch, it took a year for me to get in touch with the real issue of that left arm. And if I had never gotten in touch with it, yeah, it might have gone away, but now it'll go to the right side. So unless you get to the core of an issue to let it go 100%, it'll just keep going in different parts of the body to wake you up.
It bounces around. Yeah, I've seen it.
Right.
I've seen it do that.
Now, your car is your emotional body. So whatever's going on with your car has to do with what's going on with you.
Uh-huh.
So I have a that thing about a light bulb goes on in your mind, and it's like, are you going to get the answer? There's a light bulb, light bulb. Well, I got hit in the butt the other day, stopped at a light, and my engine light had come on again after 7 months of I fixed one thing, which was the gas thing, you put the gas cover. I replaced that, and it went away for 7 months, but I didn't fix the complete issue. Now the light's going on, and the universe had me bumped to say, hey, go get this checked out. This is not funny. And I did, so I had to replace two other parts. But guess what? It's still not finished. The light went on again today, and I brought it back, and they go, oh, the doohickey, the CO2 doohickey, it's not functioning. They gave me a bad one. You see what's going on? So the issue. So it has to do with my life about the mixing. Am I mixing this and mixing that properly? The O2 and the gas.
Yes.
It's not mixing properly, and the catalytic converter can't work properly unless it's mixing. So therefore, I'm not mixing properly. Mm-hmm. So get the message. So the emotional body created this.
Yes. Since you went there, let's explain to people what we're really talking about. We're talking about the five subtle bodies. We have the physical body, but there are also five subtle bodies, and we'll list them, and then we'll tell you a little bit about each one. Go ahead and list the five, and then we'll start at number one and just a couple sentences about each. Is that okay?
Well, you've got your mental, your physical, your spiritual. What I decided was, as I said, the car is your emotional, your home is your physical, mental, your garden, which I found out is your spiritual.
Okay.
So those are the main, those are the bodies that I work with. There are a few others in the book, but those are the main ones that I work with.
Okay. You don't work too much with the etheric body? The etheric?
The etheric?
Etheric, okay. Use of universal intuition?
Yeah. No, etheric is great, too. The etheric body is different than the other bodies where I'm putting the association of what is mental, physical, and spiritual.
Right.
As far as the body goes.
Right.
to try to help people out that way. I know the etheric body is very important, your aura and all that, and
mm-hmm.
your chakras. And
yes.
Yeah, I work with all that also.
Okay.
But I have found helping people understand. So if they're trying to find their house and they keep getting houses that they can't live at, they have to understand, well, what is going on? Has it mm-hmm. have to do with you feel like a house is not a home, that when you live with your mother and father, it was never really a home? Because
mm-hmm.
there is a difference between a house and a home.
There is.
So so it depends on what's going on with a person. I'll do a really big workup to find out their whole entire life, including all the medicine or drugs or anything they're taking, because everything
mm-hmm.
has to do with something else.
Absolutely.
And I don't get into, okay, your hour's up, leave. I don't want anyone hanging. So it
right.
takes as long as it takes. I don't make any appointments. When I'm with somebody, there's no appointment waiting after.
Yeah.
Because
I do the same.
I could be with someone for 3 hours and not even know
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be.
Yeah. I have a start time. I don't have an end time, and I say make sure you free up your afternoon.
Right.
So just to illustrate...
Right.
Our physical and mental aspects are represented by the home. So there are things in the home that represent, that give us clues because they represent, it's our higher mind or subconscious mind. Do you go in those arenas with people?
Yes.
Okay. And then, of course, we said our car represents our emotional aspects and that the different functions of the vehicle can mirror what's happening in our bodies,
right.
whether it's, like you had a problem with the gas cap. You might have had an energy leak and you were expending too much energy in too many areas and you needed to contain it. Was that the
Very
case?
Very good.
Thank you.
Very
yeah,
good. That
stuff.
Was excellent.
I had one of my
you
students
You have such a gift.
Me. Thank you so much. I've been doing this a long time as well, and it got to the point where I do dream interpretation as well, but what got to be really fun in my classes is I would start off with, like, a house cleaning thing, a housekeeping thing, and say, how was your week? Anything weird happen? Are you keeping your synchronicity logs? Because I want people to be aware and stay conscious that nothing is random and there are no accidents. So I said, anything weird happen this week? And one person raised their hand, and they said, yes, the strangest thing. You know, they had to return a movie. They jump in their truck. They're driving down a very quiet country road in the Ocala National Forest. They realized they forgot something. They had to turn around, but as they did, two cars pulled up on either side and started hitting their horns very angrily and aggressively, getting her very upset. She makes the U-turn or K-turn, gets back to her house, and thought, I shouldn't even go. I'm too upset to go. And then she dug her heels in and said, no, I'm doing it anyway. I need to get things done, and this is what I want to do. And I'm going to do it. I said, and did you get there? She says, yes, I returned the movie. I said, okay. She says, what the heck does that mean? And I looked at her and I smiled and I said, I think somebody in your life has some pretty nasty things to say about my classes. And she looked at me. She goes, how would you know that? I said, you just told me with everything you just said. You have the setting out. I get into that, like the setting out, the someone angry with her for shifting directions, and then she says, no, I am going to go in that direction anyway. I'm doing what I want to do. And I just put the pieces together, and I said, you know, forgive him. I don't care what he says about my classes. He's just as much a part of this class as you are. So we're all learning from him right now, too, so that works. Anyway, long story short, you can take these representations, and really, I love nature and stuff by Ted Andrews. I use all of that stuff. And speaking of which, you also use color therapy. Do you want to talk a little bit about color? And let me see if we have anybody
yes,
on the line.
Yes, I will. I just went to page 70 and found out etheric is your universal intuition. I always forget about the fifth one there. Etheric,
oh, do you?
Universal
mm-hmm.
intuition, right. Okay, as far as color, everything in color has a negative and a positive. So when I do a class, I always say, who out there has a color that they refuse to wear, don't like to wear? If they have a choice, they would not wear. And the two colors that always come up seem to be orange and yellow.
Yes.
So orange has to do, the negative is, get out of your, the negative is pain. and the positive is courage. So you get out of your courage, you get out of your pain. And yellow has to do with your empowerment,
mm-hmm.
Power center, and being in your power. But the negative is being a chicken, being afraid, fear.
Okay.
And so what I'll say to these people is, okay, fine. How about wearing like yellow or orange underwear, socks? Because sometimes I get redheads will say, oh, I can't wear red and yellow. It looks terrible next to me. But then again, I will meet redheads who have no problems wearing orange and yellow. But one time I had someone say that they didn't like khaki, and that was the first. So I kind of did my thing with her, and I said, okay, go back. When was the first time you I kind of did a hypnotherapy thing in front
uh-huh.
of the class. And it turns out, the person who had raped her, which she had totally put out of her mind, had a khaki jacket.
Wow.
So once she understood that it had nothing to do with the color, because it never is, there's that example of what you think it is, but it isn't. She thought the khaki color was a problem for her. Now she understands that khaki had to do with the jacket that the man who raped her wore. When she
yes.
understood it, she was able to finally find peace with that rape.
Wow. Good for her.
There was still something giving it energy in her mind because she put it out of her mind.
Right.
So that's another important part of my work.
Total subconscious, unconscious reaction to the experience without having a conscious association. I'm sorry, we do have a caller on the line, area code 719. If you meant to be in the queue, just give us a couple minutes. I have one or two more questions for Tara Ray, and I will get to your question. If you don't have a question, feel free to hang up and call back. I know that some people really don't want to come on the air, and I don't want to cause anybody any anxiety, but I will get to you in just a minute, and Tara will give you a message from the universe. I wanted to talk about, so if we have a color, and they generally are orange and yellow, see, here's the thing. I can only wear pale. I'm so pale. I am English and Scottish by descent, and I have a lot of pinks and blues in my skin, so when I wear yellow, I look a little washed out. So what I do is I put just a little bit of yellow because I like to wear it. And it's Friday today, so I'm wearing green. I color code my days. I know that sounds strange, but I go with the Venusian energy, the energy of the heart chakra, which processes money energy. So I wear green on Fridays and things of that nature, and gold when I feel especially grounded and in my spirit more than in my body. I love gold. But
so
what color?
If you wore gold every day, you'd be in your spirit.
I'm not really just on that one day. I've only got one gold shirt, so when I look at it and I say, "Nope, I'm going to go with red." Which chakra do I want to, you know, or cosmic consciousness? You know, if I'm teaching a class,
you don't have any gold jewelry.
Oh yeah, I wear it every day.
Then you are wearing gold.
That's true. That's true. My little angel earrings and my heart and center heart with the diamond. But what color, have you had any other interesting colors? Is it gray or black in your wardrobe?
Well, to be honest, I never wear gray or black because it's too black and gray.
Okay.
To me, black is void of color, even though it's supposed to be color unto itself. The only time I wear black, if I have something colorful underneath it, basically, when I'm lecturing, I'll wear blue because blue is communication.
Yes.
That's the positive of blue. The negative would be sadness or blue. Am I blue?
Sure.
And pink and green are the heart colors.
Mm-hmm.
The heart has two colors, pink and green.
Yeah.
And pink is great for the heart, but the negative is, have you ever met people, that's all they wear is pink, everything is pink, pink shoes,
yes.
pink shirt, pink hat. Pink, pink, pink. Well, these are the pinky people who always wear their heart on their sleeves.
Yes.
That's the negative part. So if you see someone totally in pink, that's why.
Do you not to be mean, but have you ever noticed someone who has a lot of pink in their decor, in their wardrobe, do you feel that
yes.
they are stuck emotionally at an emotional age level of, say, a young girl, like 10 or 11, and they haven't really gone beyond that emotionally, and so that brings them back to that childhood thing?
Well, that could be another thing, but it has to do with their heart and always being on feeling they're going to be hurt. And if
yes.
they wear pink, they feel that the people will might like them better, feel sorry for them or whatever
That's it,
it is that they need to wear pink. It's the same thing with people who wear black. To me, people who wear black are people who want to be invisible. I worked at Macy's one time. They made us wear black, and I quit because I'm not doing it. I'm not invisible. Why would I be an invisible salesperson? I want to
okay.
be visible. When I wear lots of colors, people come over to me because I am colorful. And I don't care if it matches or doesn't match. If my shoes and socks don't match the rest of my wardrobe, I don't care. I'm not into what people think of me. It's what I think of myself.
Right. How about purple? People who infuse their lives with the color purple.
Well, when you said purple, I thought of the purple people eater. I was the one-eyed one.
I had, I had that 45. I love that song.
I know.
I mean,
maybe
purple,
that's why I'm
purple
singing
clothes,
it.
Purple clothes, purple bed clothes, purple towels, purple pillows, purple.
Well, purple is the crown. Purple, white, and gold are your crown chakra. So purple is very regal, very royal.
Yes.
And it comes in so many flavors. My book is purple. So purple,
okay.
I love purple. It's my favorite color.
Okay. Well, at this point, let me go to the console, and I'll get our caller, area code 719. I'm going to click the thing and welcome them. Hi, this is Charlotte. We're on with Tara Ray. Did you have a question?
Hi. Well, actually, I've got a lot going on in my life right now. So when you said that she would give us a message from the universe, I thought, bingo.
Okay.
That's what I would like.
What's your name?
Charlotte? What's your name?
Julia.
Okay, Julia, I find that interesting. You have so much going on in your life, and there isn't a single question that you would like answered.
Well, I have lots of questions.
All right, I want you to pick one question that has been burning for an answer and ask me that question. Just one.
My relationship, my marriage is basically coming to an end after 29
There's
years.
There's your answer. It's coming to an end. Okay, give me something that you need an answer to. That's the butt-kicking angel talking to you.
You already ended it,
and that's good. Now you have new beginnings.
Yes.
Go ahead. Well, even though the paperwork still has, you have to sign the paperwork and let the ink dry, the marriage ended previously, and you're aware of that in your conscious mind. But so she's asking, what is burning in your mind that you just can't put your finger on the answer or the solution?
Okay, you have a new life. You're heading towards a new life. What's the first thing you would like done? Intention. What's your intention for your new life now as a single woman?
I want to have fun. I want like the sweetness of life. I want to, I'm ready for fun and laughter and joy and just the sweetness. That's really where I want my life to go. It's just
okay. I have a magic wand because I'm an angel. I just wave my magic wand. You have all those things in your life. You now have joy. You now have sweetness. You now have all the friends that you want. But let me tell you about friends. I want you to now surround yourself with all that are for your highest good. Now, you may have to let go of a lot of people now.
Okay.
You have to create a vacuum. You must let go of the people in your life, your old life, in order to create new people coming into your life that will help you with the joy and the sweetness in your life. Can you do that?
Well, yeah, because I basically don't really have a lot of people in my whole life. I've been basically a hermit. That's why I want, I want something more than what I've just been experiencing.
Where do you live? Where is 719?
Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. Are you near Colorado Springs?
I'm south of there, but actually I'm in Florida right now.
Florida right now.
What part
where
of Florida,
Florida
are you in,
you?
Julia?
Where Champions Gate and Davenport and
I do.
Payne City. I'm in that area.
It's
I'm here for my mom's having a lot of health issues, and so I'm here you know, sort of helping her so she's back on her feet.
Did you say Sun City?
Haines City. She's south of me. I'm in Orlando. She's in Haines City. It's about an hour and a half away. And Tara Ray is in Ocala, 2 hours north of me.
Oh, okay. So you're going further north.
Yeah, we're all kind of, starting with her, we're a little south.
Yeah.
So where is home?
Good question. I live in Pueblo, Colorado.
Oh, that's
but
right.
I've never really felt home there. It's just where I live.
Pueblo, yes. I've been to Pueblo. I was on the military bases, so I was in all those different places. And also Sam's Club and things like that. Denver. I did book signings in Denver. But if you can get to this place, it's called the Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I've been there.
All right. Well, this time I want you to go back with a whole new life and a whole new thought. And as you're walking around those beautiful red rocks, which is like Sedona, mm-hmm. that's another place you might want to go, Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
And just walk around and just, as you're doing it, just give it all to the rocks, all your past, all the things that weren't working for you. This is a message I'm giving from the universe, because Colorado is great. So what you do is, tomorrow is the beginning of your life. So tomorrow just say, that's it, I've had enough of my old life and my new life, and start writing a journal of what do you see in your new life. Can you do that?
Yeah.
So what you put on paper is your intention. Intention is a map of the mind. So what you put, you know, what you put on paper, what you verbally say to the universe, that is your new life.
Okay.
It's kind of like build it and they will come. When you open your heart to new friends and new experiences, they will show up at your door.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you both so much.
Great.
Thank you so much.
And God bless Mom.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank
bless
you very
your mom.
Much.
I'm
appreciate
you on
that.
Hold so you can continue listening, okay, Julia?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and we'll say a prayer for your mom. Okay, we have another caller, area code 206. And that was quite good, Tara.
That's San Antonio.
Okay. Oh, 206 is San Antonio? All right, I'm going to bring them on the air. Hi, this is Charlotte. What's your name?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air with Tara Ray. Did you have a question, sir?
I do. This is Austin. How are you?
Hi, Austin.
I'm
very
Austin.
Well.
All right, San Antonio, Austin. I lived in Houston, so I know 206.
Yeah,
the hills
I'm
of Austin.
What's that?
The hills of Austin.
I've never been to Austin.
Well, where are you from then? Where is 206? Is it San Antonio?
No.
Oh,
no,
wait a minute. Seattle.
Oh,
yeah,
she got it. She got it. Little Miss well-traveled. And Austin, what's your question for Tara Ray?
Well, I met somebody, and we were dating for a little bit, and felt a really strong connection with this person. But then everything kind of got quiet, and I'm not quite sure...
Yep. Well, I got to tell you something. I really don't go into when people come to me in my book signings and things, I want to work with the person. I don't really get into the relationship. Well, when will my man come? When will my woman come? Because unless you release the stuff that keeps you from having relationship, you can have 20 women lined up, and guess what? None of them are going to work.
Oh, okay.
So what's your first name? I didn't quite get that.
What was that?
What is your first name? Spell it.
My first name is Austin.
Oh, it's Austin. That's why I got the Austin from.
Right.
Okay, Austin. How old are you?
I am 46. Yeah, 46.
46.
Think about that.
Okay. What happened to you? Can you remember something that happened when you were about 26? Can you possibly go back to 26? Because when I asked you how old you were, I got 26. Something happened when you were 26. Do you remember?
When I was 26.
Where were you when you were 26?
That would have been in the 90s, I believe.
Okay. So were you in Seattle?
I was finishing. I'd probably finished college, and was in that period of what am I going to do or am I going to work. And I was working 3 or 4 jobs at that time.
Okay.
It's around 1993, 1994.
Okay. What you took in college, is that what you're doing now? What you made?
No, not at that time. I went back to college after.
How did you have a relationship when you were 26?
26, no.
So something special around 26. When you were 26, something happened, and it's interesting, you didn't have a relationship then. Did you have one before? Did it end?
No, I didn't really have my first long term until I was like 29.
Your first
before that,
it was
kind of
29?
A commitment. Kind of a commitment before that.
So you had a marriage at 29?
No, just a long-term relationship.
Oh, but he's saying he was afraid of commitment prior to that.
Ah, okay. So when I hear things like that, that you're afraid of commitment, and guess what? The women feel that. They know immediately.
Well, that was back then.
It's still with you. When you don't hear from somebody, when you're going out and all of a sudden you don't hear from somebody, someone who wants a commitment but doesn't feel it from you, you may not even be aware you're doing it. So you have to go back to your parents. You know, it all starts there.
Okay.
How was their marriage? Were they divorced? Was there a commitment thing there?
They're committed. I don't know if they had the happiest marriage, but they seem to be getting along pretty well now.
Right, but see, you learn from them about commitment, and somehow they didn't have the commitment that you think married people should have. And when you learn that from them, so the thing is, you have to look in the mirror. There's an exercise I teach in my book about the mirror therapy. You look in the mirror and say, I am not my mother, I am not my father. And so if you're not your mother and you're not your father, who are you? And if you're not sure who you are, then you have to learn how to be who you are and who you want to be. You want to be somebody who is willing, that's the magic word, willing to commit to what will make you happy. Now, I find out that men marry their mothers and women marry their fathers. So think about the women that were in your life and who did they represent, your mother or your father. And when you can answer those questions and see the things about them that you liked and didn't like, then you'll be able to understand what's going on in your life and why you're not committing or why you're not bringing in the relationships for your highest good. And you never will until you understand why you do what you do, why you feel what you feel, and why you react the way you react. Okay? Start writing down those things I just said, and I promise you, Austin, your life will change. It's amazing how quick it works once you understand why you do what you do.
Right.
Okay?
I'm ready for that.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Austin.
All right, thank
I'm going to put you on hold so you can continue to listen. Thank you for calling in and for tuning in, dear.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Stay out of Seattle. I lived there for 3 years.
Oh, you lived in Seattle for 3 years? Okay, we have area code 323 on the line. They've been on hold for about 7 minutes. That is fantastic advice. I would say everybody should get your book, go through the exercises, and try to find out the unconscious conditioning, because I know when we have a conscious thought, I want a new relationship, when we have a negative unconscious belief, but I don't want it to be, I don't want to get stuck in it if I'm not happy in it, we're going to experience conflict outside of ourselves, and Tara Ray's book can help you with that. So we're going to go to area code 323, Tara. Do you know where that is?
Georgia?
Oh, they hung up. Okay. They didn't want to be on the air, I guess. All right. It's one of those things.
I don't know. Georgia came to my mind. Maybe they didn't like that. I said Georgia.
I don't know 323. I knew zip codes better than I knew area codes because I was heavily into mass mailings and databases. But fantastic stuff. Regard to, you know, getting to the bottom of what we need to change to make our lives better, and we all have to go back to the mind, and we also want to watch what we say. Let's talk about toxic vocabulary, Tara.
Oh, yeah, what we say. That's true. Mm-hmm. Many people go through life saying, oh, if I can only, if I had to do over again, I wouldn't have said that, or things like that. And the example I use is I was told to go to a bar. When I say I was told, yeah, I listen to the voices in my head. The psychiatrists love that one. I was told to go to a bar. I said, okay, fine. I'm walking around the bar. Who am I supposed to meet? And all of a sudden I see this man with his head, like his neck is so stiff that it's touching his right shoulder. So I walk over to him. I said, you've got a stiff neck, do you? And he said, yes, it hurts so much. I said, well, come outside and I'll work on you. I have never had anyone say no to me.
Yeah.
And so he walked out, and we're out in the garden of this bar, and I do what I call releasing the weight off of people's shoulders. Because
mm-hmm.
we do walk around with the weight of the world on our shoulders.
Yes, we do.
And on page 40 in my book is a section is called Touching the Lion on the Nose. Because if you can touch a lion on the nose, you're brave enough to do anything. So in that exercise, you bring the person in that you need to talk to, because you don't need to be in front of you to talk. And mm-hmm. so I said, okay, now close your eyes, and I'm going to push on your shoulder, and I'm going to push really hard, and you tell me when it's discomforting. And so he said, oh, yeah, that's it. I said, okay, and I held it down there, and then I let it go, and I put my hand on his shoulder, because like in Reiki, when you create a vacuum, you have to put some positive stuff in there.
Right.
And so I said, okay, now I want you to tell me, who is a pain in your neck? And he said, oh, my wife. We had a big argument, and I left, and I'm so angry with her. I said, okay. I want you to bring your wife into your mind, two chairs. You sit in one, she sits in the other. And I want you to tell her whatever you wanted to tell her. You're going to do a go-over. You can do a go-over now and mm-hmm. change it. So, but I want you to tell her with love and understanding and no anger. And he did it silently. And as he's talking in his mind, his neck is straightening out.
Wow. I love this stuff.
And now he's turning to the right and turning to the left, and his neck is totally, the pain in his neck is gone. And I said, now I want you to cover yourself in a pink bubble and her in a pink bubble, and the universe is going to take what you said to her, and you never have had to be in front of her to say it, because I know it was hard to do. And so it worked. It just works. And usually I tell people to start with your mom and dad, because they're your first teachers. Not as a psychologist, because I'm also a psychologist. I don't push the mom and dad and the guilt and the anger and stuff. But you just need to understand where they came from. If you understand what caused your mom and dad to do what they did, and your grandma and grandpa to do what they did, and so forth and so on, you'll find out you're a combination of all the energy of your ancestors from day one.
Absolutely.
And if people don't believe in reincarnation, they don't have to, because you are still that energy. And that's why you play the piano when you never had a lesson, or do what you do because your grandparents did or great-grandparents did, because you still have their energy. You still
mm-hmm.
have that being within you for all those years.
Mm-mm-mm. So. Wise words, man, wise words. You have a section in your book about how success came about. Funny story. Do you want to tell us that?
It's
page
funny. You know, a good writer doesn't write. A good writer sits at a computer and listens. And so I talked to the universe the whole time I was writing this book. And so I'm writing the word success. And I said, S-U-C-C, two S's, one C. And they said, how are you going to have success if you can't even spell it? So they have a great sense of humor. The only way you're going to have success is because if is another one of those articles, but if and when and it
yeah.
and should. So we have to stop using those too. So the toxic vocabularies that we use, like, I would really die for that piece of cake. Would you really die for a piece of cake?
Watch your mouth. Yes.
Right.
You know what my mother
Watch
always
your mouth?
Said? No, she was big on, you make me sick to my stomach, or that makes me sick to my stomach.
Ooh,
I said, you better stop saying
stomach,
that stuff.
She?
And then there was a situation with the family, and she didn't want to look at it clearly and kept saying,
mm-hmm.
Something
I don't want to see it.
unrelated, didn't want to see it. I said, you keep this up, you're going to run into a problem with your right eye, and you got to stop this and look at the situation, you know. And no, I see it clearly. Nothing bad is happening here. I said, everything is wrong here. You're going to run into a problem with your eye. You got to stop. 6 months later, she was diagnosed with some web-like thing behind her eye that was clouding her vision, and she had stomach cancer.
Well, you are what you say, you are what you feel, you are what you believe, and you are what you eat.
Yes, I can't stand
it. So if you can go over all those things, like people are saying, I don't want to see it. Yes, they'll either go blind or something will go on. If they say, I don't want to hear it, they will go deaf. I've met many people, they were deaf, and I say, well, did you say those things? If there wasn't any physical reason for them to be deaf,
right,
all of a sudden it just happened overnight. And it's true. And once they understood that that's what caused it, the miracle happens. The hearing comes back. The seeing comes back. So I used to say things like, that's like pulling teeth, cancel. So I don't want to say that again. I think I have 4 teeth left in my mouth. So
Really? Watch
that one. That's one you don't want to use either. Or I'll call someone. They go, they can't come to the phone. They're tied up. I said, that is a vision I really don't want to see. Thank you.
Yeah. I actually improved my vision 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just
you're ready
with whatever
to see clearly.
I was doing. Mm-hmm. I was ready to put the past behind me, move to Florida, start fresh, and be who I was meant to be and be myself.
Mm-hmm.
And before I left, I went to the eye doctor, and she was like, protect your eyes. They're blue. And she also said, and your vision has improved. I said, really? I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I'm not going to get into that with the doctor, but just letting go, being ready, looking forward to a bright future, my vision improved several degrees. So that was fun, you know. So what's the success story?
What is a success story?
You say, do it and the money comes. Not, I'll do it when the money comes.
I see things
that.
As they are. I see things as they are, not as they will be.
Right.
So,
in the
for example, when I broke board with my hand after just a meditation the one time, I broke board because my mind already saw it broken. When I walked on hot coals, I already saw myself on the other side.
Yes.
When I bent rebar with my mind into a noodle, I kept seeing the rebar as a noodle. So the thing is, see it as it is. When golfers, there's a difference between a excellent sports person and a mediocre sports person. A person like a golf pro who is a winner, they already see that ball already in the birdie. It's already birdie.
Yeah.
The moment that they actually, in their mind, see it going exactly in there, that's how they do it. That's how they learn how to do it. When someone's a baseball player, they actually see it going where their mind wants to go. Well, I want to hit it over third base. I want to hit a home run. They say it, they do it, and it's done. So see it as it is, not as it will be.
And so whenever a client comes to you and asks you to help them achieve success in their life, what's your primary suggestion?
Well, first I have to understand why they don't have it.
Okay.
So everybody's entitled. See, God doesn't have a poverty consciousness. We're the ones with the poverty consciousness. So if they're not, if they don't have what they feel they want, deserve, or they have lack, I have to understand where that lack is coming from. Just like with Austin, why aren't his relationships working?
Right.
So
I don't answer that question either. I was surprised because I didn't know. I don't know your technique for doing that, but I don't like to answer when will I have my next relationship. I want to know what happened to the last three.
Exactly.
I don't like that question. I'd rather somebody ask me when they're going to die. You know what I mean? I'm actually more comfortable with that question than I am when's my next relationship, because I feel people are asking when is someone going to come along and save me from myself. And
well, it's funny you talked about death, because people come to me and say, can you tell me my future? I say, you have no future. They go, why? Am I going to die? I said, yes. They go, come on.
You are.
What's going on? I said, you heal the past, you live in the now, the future is what you will be. So therefore, everything I just wrote in your book or sent to you, or sometimes I get messages from people who aren't on this planet anymore. So whatever message you got from me today becomes your future. If you don't work on the now, because when you're in the now, you've won. Because now,
yes,
go backwards is one. So when you live in the now, you've won. And then your future is what you want it to be. You have no future, the future you want, unless you heal the past and live in the now. That's the creed. That is it.
Magical words. Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, we have about 5 minutes. 5 minutes or so, maybe a little more if it takes that long. But you have interesting stories about a lot. You know a lot of people. You know John Bradshaw, and you met Lady Diana?
Well, I didn't meet her physically, but there's a story about Lady Di. When I came back from a conference, and I was in my home, and on the back of the toilet on the top was a little note on pink paper. And I went, okay, what's this? And the word Diana was written on it. And so I said, okay, what's a foot? Because they give me these little messages and things like, go turn the TV on. I got the same message when 9/11 hit, go turn on the TV.
Uh-huh.
So I turn on the TV, and I'm hearing that Lady Di had just died.
Passed away.
And I said, okay, what's going on? They go, then I got the message, she is the princess who will be queen. So she came through this life to have her two children. One of those children are going to create her back again. Whether it's a male or a female, queen or king, she will come again as the ruler of England.
Really?
That's the message I got, right?
That's interesting.
So she came, that was her whole idea, to have these two children. And so I wrote this down, and Marion Williamson was teaching at the Unity Church in Houston, and I ran over to Houston to share it with her because she loves Di. And so I ran over there. She was just getting over the podium. I took the pink paper, and I waved it like, get over here. She runs off the podium, comes over to me. I put it in her hand, and we're both holding it. And both our hair just stood up like electricity.
Wow.
Like Di was confirming it or something, you know?
Wow.
And so she's reading it on her way back to the podium, and she gave me a thumbs up.
Interesting. What
yeah,
about John Bradshaw?
So
I love him. Where is John Bradshaw? Do you know?
Well, he may be still in Texas. That's where he lives. That's
his work
where,
is,
when I lived
his
in
work
Texas.
Is fantastic. A lot of Texas
today.
And,
you know, his life, he started off a drug addict, alcohol.
Yes.
But he had to be who he was so that he could understand who he has to be. And so that he could teach the people who think they need this addiction in order to live or die.
The last
and
I heard, he was
have,
struggling with that again. That's the last I heard. Many years ago was that he was struggling with that. But I love his work with the birth order of children. I'm a middle child. Are you? Do you have siblings? What's your birth order?
I'm an older child. I have a sister 2 years younger, and I have a half-brother that's older.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So you're kind of the middle. I'm the middle of five. Ouch.
Well,
I
see myself as the older because I didn't live with my brother or anything. So opposed to my sister and myself, I consider myself the older in that family dynamic.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a classic middle child. I absorbed all the emotions of the family, monkey in the middle everywhere I go. I'm always mediating between two people, bringing peace to the situation, explaining both sides. It's pretty interesting. The hardest thing, though, is releasing all the emotions of the family and not embracing them as your own. Because I was like a sponge. There was a lot I had to let go of. But, well, is there anything you'd like to add? I have had so much fun. I hate to...
Don't hate. It's not cool.
Okay. But Tara Ray operates Angelic Standard Time. And unfortunately, that has passed, or fortunately, let's say fortunately, Angelic Standard Time has passed, and it's time for us to move on to the next phase. But is there anything you'd like to leave with the audience from your brilliant mind?
Well, AST, which is Angelic Standard Time, is where everyone needs to work on because linear doesn't work. And Angelic Standard Time gets you where you need to go the blink of an eye. So when I travel, I say, okay, angels, put me on your wings, get me where I need to be in angelic standard time, invisible to anyone who would stop me, including the police. But sometimes I get stopped because I'm speeding, and I should get stopped because I'm going too fast. So that's okay. And plus, I'm in Florida, and so I need to pay taxes. I'm on their land. So therefore, I look at it as, okay, I got a $125 tax thing to pay, and I was okay with it. And the money came the next day for me to pay it. So see how that works?
Yes.
Well, I would love to. I'm in Florida, Central Florida, until April or May. I'm planning to visit Charlotte while I'm here in Orlando. And
that'll
I'd love to get some classes together. I was doing conferences and lectures last year in Sun City and Melbourne, but I'm not doing them this year, but I will be in Gainesville April 26th. It's a psychic fair, and then I head back to Canada where I work for 6 months. But people can get a hold of me. I can work on the phone with people through PayPal. If you get on my website, TaraRay444.com, 444 means Earth Angel, and you can pay buy my book or set up an appointment through PayPal, and we could do it on the phone. Anybody has a home that I can stay with them, I will work on them as a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I could stay in their home and work on their home, their animals, because I work with pets too.
Uh-huh.
I'm an animal healer. And so my phone number is 817-975-0493. That's 817-975-0493. TaraRay444.com also has my phone number. So you can get in touch with me. And I work at Unity Churches, and I suggest people go to Unity Churches. You can Google the closest one to you. I've worked in Naples and Ocala and Orlando. And anyone is welcome there, everybody. It doesn't matter what religion you are. As long as you go there, they will work with you. They do prayer. They do healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-dogmatic. So they talk about the Bible, but they don't throw it at you.
No,
so
yeah.
Unity Church, check that out.
I like Unity Church. It's basically non-denominational, and everything's embraced, and it's just spirituality, basic spirituality, which is good for a lot of us as we work on our spiritual selves. But, you know, I myself left religion, strict religion behind when I was very young. Well, I so appreciate you coming on the air.
Jesus didn't have a religion. God didn't have a religion. And you can pray in the toilet. It doesn't matter where you pray. But when you pray, talk to God, but then listen. Meditating is listening. So after you pray, be still and know that God can't talk to you when you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And
you'll get a sign.
I can work with people immediately. I only have to see someone once. I'm too busy. I'm running around the earth and the world. So I don't need to see someone a whole bunch of times. But my book, people say just my book is enough because they learn so much. It's like the Earth 101. That's what my book is. In order to live on Earth, you know, my book will help you do that. Universe on the Move.
Go to her website, TaraRay444.com, and check that out. And we eagerly await your new book whenever that is completed. And thank you once again for coming on the air. You're an angel in my life. I think you're so wonderful. And I'll see you sometime soon,
I can't wait to see it on YouTube. So go to YouTube. Eventually, Charlotte will get it on there. And I will see you next week after Thanksgiving. I'm going to make sure I get there Sunday to say hi to April at the Unity Church.
Okay, at the church. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right near my house.
Okay.
That's right near my house.
Bye-bye.
All right, dear. Thank you. Take care. And thank you, everybody. Thank you to everyone who called in. Julie and Austin, thank you for sharing your situations and requesting Tara's advice. I do appreciate everyone listening, whether you're tuning in through YouTube, iTunes, anywhere else on the Internet. And until we talk to you next time, as always, God bless and be at peace. So long for now.